You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
President Biden has issued an executive order that bans all new oil and gas drilling in the Gulf of Mexico and on other public lands throughout the United States. Now, look, I'm not going to bubble wrap this. This is bad. This is really bad. This is devastating to America. We'd just become energy independent, but this is devastating to Louisiana. Our GDP in Louisiana is a little over a couple hundred billion dollars a year. I've seen studies that show fully a third of that is related to oil and gas, directly or indirectly.
Those are the words of Senator John Kennedy, Republican, Louisiana. This is Feb 2, 2021. He's referring to what Biden did in his first few days in office, and that is wipe out hundreds of thousands of jobs, either directly or indirectly. Those directly working on the XL Keystone Pipeline, the connection that was going to take a shorter path, wiped out. You know, the fields around that pipeline route are absolutely stacked with piping that was going to be going into the ground. The steel's already been made. The pipes are made. They're sitting there ready to go in. They just need the additional excavation and then, of course, workers to carry the process out. One day they're working. The next day they're told, you don't have a job anymore. And then aside from the Keystone Pipeline, XL part of it, shutting down oil leases in various areas, particularly harmful to Louisiana because most of its oil comes from offshore. And those are all direct impacts of what Biden did, all in the name of climate protection change. And we're told, they say over and over again, hey, your job, you don't want your children shackled to a job that's not going to be good in the future, fossil fuels. So we're going to shut everything down now. I told you the analogy I had the other day. I'll repeat it. You have a home. You'd like to make some changes, but you're making it work. It's okay. But someone comes on and says, we are going to build you a better, nicer home, more efficient for you, everything you would want in it. Will you step outside this home while we burn it down? And you're ordered out of your home. They burn it to the ground. And you say, where's my other home? We'll have it for you in 20 or 30 years, maybe. That's what they've done here. They have absolutely cut American workers, chopped them at the knees for something that's supposed to come in the future without giving them something else now. Right in the midst of this COVID crisis, we're already hundreds of thousands are out of work in service industry, things of that nature. Business owners losing everything, never to reopen again. And as I said, the jobs directly with the pipeline and oil leases are one thing. But look at all the ripple effects, restaurants, truck stops, the trucking industry, food, deliveries. Look at what's going to happen. And we have been energy independent. And now we want to go back where we're going to have to rely at some point on Russia, Saudi Arabia. Now, we're going to get into that in a lot more detail today than we have previously. And COVID again. Dr. Fauci reverses himself within a matter of seconds, almost, about what to do about masks. They don't know what they're doing, and they admit it they don't know. That doesn't help you. It doesn't help anyone. Schools still closed in many areas. Teachers say we're not going back in, even when they're ordered to go back in. We have, at this point, just begun to suffer under this new administration. And, of course, the impeachment trial is coming. Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation will join us discussing what's happening in states or needs to happen to make sure that the next election is better, more likely to be legal than what we saw. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Most of us are taking precautions to avoid COVID in public, but what are you doing to make sure your home is free of COVID? Wellington Environmental is the answer. And here's the great news. Wellington's average cost to professionally treat a home, less than $300. Less than $300. And the cost for treating most offices, not much higher. Be ready to copy a phone number to get on the schedule as soon as possible. First, let me remind you, if you want your own professional fogging device, Wellington sells them, priced $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors, save $100. If you want your home or office professionally disinfected by Wellington, here's the number, 314-644-4930. Again, get on the schedule early, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing. Covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beale Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I am flesh and I am bone. Rise up, ting ting, like glitter and gold. I got fire in my soul. Rise up, ting ting, like glitter.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Government officials making these policies have had really no big impact on their lives. They still go places, they visit with people. They're not the ones who have lost their paychecks and lost their businesses. I've said and I will continue to say that when government officials shut down businesses, they should themselves not take a paycheck until they can open those businesses back. Because the one group of people who throughout the entire pandemic have not lost one paycheck are people in government that the taxpayers are funding, those taxpayers who don't even get to pay taxes.
Those, of course, the words that I know many of you have echoed. Look at how many jobs are shut down because of COVID. And the rules keep changing, and the rules make no sense. Restaurants have to shut at 9 o'clock. And then suddenly they declare, oh, they can stay open until 10 o'clock. And in one state, they can have outdoor dining, but you can't have a TV. You can't have a TV for where folks could see whatever they want to see while they're dining, like this weekend Super Bowl. Can't do that. What does any of that have to do with the spread of COVID? Not a darn thing. It is, again, just constant restrictions and enforcing rules and regs, which they have to admit, we don't know. I'm going to give you a perfect example coming up here shortly again about Dr. Fauci. Remember in the very beginning he said, you don't need to worry about this thing. It's not going to be that big of a deal. And then later said, yeah, it's a pretty big deal. And then later, we're going to get it under control pretty quickly. And then maybe we're not. And you don't need to worry about getting a mask. They're not going to do any good anyway. And then later saying, yeah, you need a mask. And then later saying, well, maybe it doesn't really help anyway. And then maybe two masks. And he... This is the guy of science, and not just him. Others are in the same thing. So I would understand if government leadership is confused, but why don't you show some initiative and decide on your own what might be a better path? They all got upset because Trump didn't nationalize everything and tell the states exactly what you have to do. He said, I'm going to let the states determine it. It's there. Let them decide what they've got and they're dealing with. And Governor DeSantis in Florida immediately said, well, we're not going to put nursing home patients that are COVID. We're not going to put COVID patients into the nursing homes. We're not going to demand that they stay there. We're not going to do anything like that. Whereas in New York, Governor Cuomo immediately said, well, in March, by my order, any nursing home that has a COVID patient, you have to keep them. And if they go to the hospital and the hospital releases you, you got to take them back. Again, they don't really know. And unfortunately, the fact is they're killing jobs and in effect also taking more lives. We will never really probably understand the mental, emotional effect of what we've been doing these last few months on children in particular and adults and the increased tensions in homes because no money's coming in and the job that maybe one of them had has been shut down or because they got to stay home with the kids. They can't do both. Suicide rates have been increasing. And, of course, just the overall panic. And the story you would get from the mainstream media every day is that it's going to get you. It's going to get you. And folks have a right to be concerned. It's a valid concern. But at what point do you say you want to live life like this again? That this is the way we're going to do it? And I've said repeatedly, you should make a decision for you and your family based on what you think is best. Same thing if a restaurant is allowed to open, then I will decide if I want to go in there. But, of course, to make others feel safe, I will have to wear a mask, and maybe it'll protect me, and maybe it'll make them feel better, maybe it'll protect them. I had a good friend the other day. Well, I'll tell you specifically who it was. George Norrie of Coast to Coast in town. He and I are good friends. And we're going somewhere, and he had on this really slick-looking black mask, and he looked, you know, kind of threatening, like the black mask. And I had one of these pickup things you throw on your face. It's got blue on one side, white on the other. Half the time, I probably put it on the wrong side out. I don't really care. I've got it on. And he said, you need to get a black mask, Larry. It's more becoming you in your black shirt and black hat all the time. And I said, I don't plan on wearing this damn thing the rest of my life. I'm just getting one now when I have to use it. And, of course, you know how the rules are. You have to use it to walk into a place, in a restaurant. You sit down, then you can take it off and eat and drink and talk and whatever else. But then if you're going to walk back, I don't care if it's just 8 feet from the door, you got to put it back on. Now, if I'm leaving a place, I may not worry about it because I'm just going to go on out. Do I want to jeopardize and threaten and make other people feel uncomfortable? I don't. But at the same time, we've been under this lockdown and these restrictions that had no basis. And if there was anything that would prove that one group and one approach is better than the other, it'd be evident in our face. The most restrictive state, California, has more cases than anyone else at last check. Florida, doing much better, and they've been a lot more open. And, of course, this whole thing that happened with the nursing homes and Governor Cuomo, who ordered them to go into these nursing homes, and then when the word broke the other day that his own state health department had withheld information or not properly documented it under the New York Health Commissioner, Howard Zucker, been in his position since 2014, well, Cuomo again tried to say, I'm gonna help people understand the real facts. I believe in truth and transparency.
The conspiracy they're trying to spread just has no factual basis. But yes, people in nursing homes died, and they're playing politics with the issue.
Incompetent government kills people. More people died than needed to die in COVID. That's the truth.
That's the truth, but it also has to do with how you did it in New York State. And you, by your order, probably did have more people die than had to die. As you said, incompetent government. And Cuomo doesn't like being questioned about that. He doesn't like it because, after all, remember, I mean, the mainstream media was calling him the savior, the almost the guy that's showing real leadership while Trump is fumbling around. And, of course, when these numbers come out now and show this situation for Cuomo, he falls back. He falls back saying the right's trying to create a conspiracy against me. Why is it the right is always guilty of conspiracies and the left never is? I'm just asking. But to that point, again, Cuomo, in defending himself, because he is going to defend himself, tries to make it clear to everyone, hey, you can't put all that blame on me. And they had maybe documented 6,000 deaths in nursing homes, and that's underreported by at least 50%, we're told. But again, Cuomo says, not me.
If you died in a nursing home, it's called a nursing home death. If you die in a hospital, it's called a hospital death. It doesn't say, where were you before? And if I'm a nursing home operator, I say, don't say that person died in my nursing home, because they didn't.
They didn't. I can wash my hands of it. And as a Governor Cuomo, I can wash my hands of it, because they didn't die in the nursing home. I want to go back to some remarks by former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, who's now a Fox analyst, and his response about Cuomo's just overall attitude then and now, and will be for as long as he can do it.
The arrogance of Cuomo is stunning. I just can't think of a political figure who was so lacking in self-awareness and so completely tone-deaf to the manner in which he said, hey, people died. You know, who cares? That kind of thing is just amazing to me, that he believes that he's so removed from the sentiments of the people that he could say something like that.
Yeah, but he thinks he can because he's been given cover by the mainstream media for so much and so long. He's their darling. They're not going to really hurt him that badly, are they? I mean, if he needs help, he can always go to CNN and NNN with his brother Chris anchoring, and they could joke about using this giant cotton swab to stick in your nose and have some fun. You know what's happening right now in New York? I told you earlier, of course, the information that came out the other day from the New York Attorney General that indicated the Cuomo administration had, quote, undercounted the number of coronavirus-related fatalities in nursing homes by as much as 50%. 50%. Well, Senator Thomas O'Meara, the top Republican serving on the Senate Committee on Investigations and Government Operations, said during making a motion, I want to make sure we get to the bottom of the irregularities of reporting data on coronavirus-related fatalities in nursing homes. He's just saying, let's get to the bottom of it. Now, this is the New York State Senate. The top Republican serving on the New York State Senate Committee said, let's get to the bottom of it. I would think everyone would go along with that. Would you not think? Well, hold on. Hold on. Hold on, Bunky. Not so fast. The Democrats, some of them coming forward and trying to put a halt to it, a halt to the investigation. They have blocked a subpoena for nursing home fatality data. Blocking, let me repeat it again, a subpoena for nursing home fatality data. They don't want the data to come out. The report claiming again from the state AG that you underreported the deaths. Health Commissioner Howard Zucker, New York State, saying, well, the number of coronavirus-related fatalities in nursing homes stood at 12,700. New York Post even said that figure is about 4,000 more than previously reported, which confirms the Attorney General's finding, and that's assuming we're getting the right numbers in. But now, as the Republican state Senate leader says, let's have an investigation, subpoena, and get all this information. You've got Democrats basically trying to back away from it, saying it's a political motion. We're not going to be bullied into doing something. It's a political motion. And Cuomo claims that everybody that's against him is playing politics, using the deaths of these poor people in these nursing homes as a political weapon. The point is, Governor, we need and want factual information in that state and every state. And when you're trying to hide it, you're trying to conceal it, and you're changing the numbers and maybe just not reporting, and you know it, that's a crime. It's a crime. But again, the experts, what do they know? Who knows at this point? We'll take a break when we come back. Dr. Fauci on using a mask. 1, 2, none, 20, 30. And then who's going to be the mask police? How many do you have on? How many do you have on? Stand by.
Larry Connors, USA.
All right, as I was saying as we went into this break, this idea of the mask. And, of course, some of you have your custom-made and purchased custom mask, and they might be cloth, they might be some other fabric, or you might have one of the real authoritative N95s, whatever. Maybe you're already wearing a double mask. Maybe you've got a shield over your face with a mask. Maybe you're not going anywhere because you just don't trust anything out there. Well, again, first of all, you make the decision you think is best for you and your family. That's what you should do. But when you look to the experts, you get such confusing information. Dr. Fauci, I'm picking on him to some extent because he's been as lost on the sea as anyone. And I understand this is new and we're still trying to but then why make rules based on something you don't really know yet? Too many times. He was speaking the other day with the American Federation of Teachers. And the person handling the anchoring it type thing will ask him a question about it. You're going to hear the question. You're going to hear his answer. And right behind that, you'll hear his answer on another time, reference mask. So I've told you what you're going to hear. You're going to hear Fauci being questioned about the mask, his answer, and then you'll hear another tape start that obviously has another time with a different answer. Here we go.
A lot of folks are hearing now about double masking, wearing two masks or trying to get one of those N95 medical grade masks. Do you believe that that's advisable and makes a difference?
You know, it likely does because, I mean, this is a physical covering to prevent droplets and virus to get in. So if you have a physical covering with one layer, you put another layer on, it just makes common sense that it likely would be more effective.
There are many people who feel, you know, if you really want to have an extra little bit of protection, maybe I should put two masks on. There's nothing wrong with that, but there's no data that indicates that is going to make a difference. And that's the reason why the CDC has not changed the recommendation.
See? No mask, one mask, two masks. I will guarantee you somebody will come out shortly and say, this mask provides you triple mask protection. And, of course, the Democrats pushing forward with this $1.9 trillion coronavirus proposal. Republicans have tried to come up with an offer as well, but not like that, because what they're doing in there is not just COVID relief and not helping just citizens. Governor Scott of Florida points out what the Democrat $1.9 trillion proposal is, amounting to nothing more than payback to liberal states that helped the Democrats during the recent elections, saying that Biden and Democrats want to spend more than $350 billion to bail out friends in New York, Illinois, and California. All of them are lying about the need for the money. Over half of the states reported positive growth. California, New York, and Illinois, but they still want to say, we need more money, this is our chance to get in and get our hands into the coffers. And when I hear Pelosi and the rest of them in AOC saying, we need to tax the rich, well, why don't you look at these states that are taking money from people that cannot do the job anymore because they don't have a job, and it's going into states to bail out their bad politics. And note this, the Chinese government, which had previously opposed travel bans when the Wuhan coronavirus was spreading, remember they were joining the Dems saying that Trump is xenophobic by banning flights? You know what they're now doing in China? The Chinese government is banning travel from Canada. No, if you're coming from Canada, you cannot get into China. Now, in last year, China opposed all travel bans. But, of course, they also banned it inside their own nation. You could not fly from Wuhan direct into Beijing because they knew they had a problem. It's not just politics, it's warfare. Because what has happened to our nation has been as if we have been hit with a bomb that blew up all the economy, which it did, didn't it not? Now let's turn to the White House and then so-called press conferences. Submit your question before you ask it, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I'll circle back if there's more I can share with you. But I'll circle back with you if there's more to convey. I'll have to just circle back with you. We can circle back. I'm happy to circle back with you. I can circle back. I will have to circle back on that one. That's an excellent question.
Oh, such an important question.
We will circle back with you, and we'll circle back with you. It's an interesting question, but we'll circle back. I'm happy to circle back, but I'll have to circle back with you on it. It's a good question, but we'll circle back with you on this today. We will certainly circle back with you more directly. I hate to disappoint you, but I will have to circle back with you.
That is the White House Press Secretary, Jen Psaki, circling back again. And as she was getting questions, that's pretty much what she said every time. And you don't really see the reporters getting her face like they would if Trump had been saying, well, I'd circle back, not just once, but multiple times. That's a collection of multiple questions, and either she wasn't prepared. I mean, really? But every time it was, I had to circle back. Now, let's give her credit to the extent that I'm not going to stand here and just make something up. Okay, that I'll give her credit for, because she knows she probably shouldn't. She'd get caught in it. But to say that often, and again, that's a collection over different press conferences, not all in one, although there were some that came repeatedly in the same thing. And, yeah, everybody's kind of mocking her. That little clip you just heard had been put up at one time by, let me see, several of the media outlets, the montage, and it got widespread platforms. I know Sebastian Gorka, which is on this station later in the day, had talked to the Breitbart News political editor about this circling back all the time. Even NBC picked up on the circle back phrase, saying, Quickly, can I circle back to use that phrase to a question I just asked? And Saskia said, well, anyone can steal it, just means you have to give it back. I mean, she's having fun, but at the same time, they're not getting any information. And she admitted in a recent interview with National Public Radio, yeah, that's a habit I got to fix. She said, Twitter's had some fun with me because I say I'm going to circle back. Now, I was saying my very hardworking team can confirm I'm obsessed with circling back with reporters and not just saying it, but after the briefing, getting back to them. That is sort of a tick I have that I've got to work on. All right. I'll give her some allowance. But I cannot give allowance for how the mainstream media is just continuing to roll over. That is because, I've told you previously, under this new administration, the mainstream media is now SCM. Instead of MSM, it's SCM, state-controlled media. And now there's a report, three different sources, including some written communications reviewed by the Daily Beast, that Saskia is demanding something else of the press corps. Maybe this will help her avoid circling back all the time. They want to know the questions in advance. They want to know the questions in advance. One reporter raised the issue during an informal White House Correspondents Association Zoom call, and according to multiple sources, leaders at the meeting advised print reporters push back against requests by the White House press team to learn the questions in advance or simply don't respond to the inquiries. And I told you the other day that the way that press conference went down when Biden was up there, he took questions from folks that had already been planted by the White House press secretary and said, call on this person, that person. They knew they were not going to ask any really tough questions. Later they said, we were trying to divide it up, you know, so it's not just TV people. We get some wire people, wire reporters and radio reporters and things of that nature. They're trying to say we're just trying to really get everyone's question in. No, they're not. One White House correspondent not being identified in this article by the Daily Beast said, while it's a relief to see briefings return, and here comes a slam at Trump, why not? Why not slam Trump while you're at it? Particularly with a commitment to factual information, there you go. Might also add, and no commitment to circling back or not. Anyway, he goes on to say, or he, she said, the press really can't do its job in the briefing room if the White House is picking and choosing the questions they want. And another White House correspondent said, it pissed off enough reporters for people to flag it for the White House to start dealing with it. Since Biden took office 2 weeks ago, the White House press team has tried to draw contrast with how the Trump press team was doing things. And, of course, in the beginning, Saki was doing a good job fielding questions from every reporter. And then she started this circling back thing because she couldn't answer a lot of them. And Biden's press team is not denying that they're now soliciting questions from reporters. The White House answer, though, for why they were doing that is to foster a better relationship with the press corps than the previous administration. Really? That's your excuse? Yeah, they go on to say, our goal is to make the daily briefing as useful and informative as possible for both reporters and the public. And part of that meeting, or part of meeting that objective, means regularly engaging with reporters who'll be in the briefing room to understand how the White House can be most helpful in getting them the information they need. There are times, yes, you may say, give me a question, I'll try to run it down. And to some extent, that helps the reporter that's trying to get a story together. But if it's to gaggle reporters asking a question that might not be planned for because it's candid or maybe going to be embarrassing or it's an ambush question, as Trump always got, and would stand there and take it and take it and take it to finally look around and say, anyone else? Another question? I mean, that, and those press conferences went on and on, and then, of course, the press corps complained. Too long. So you don't want him to answer the last question that someone might have asked? You don't want that one answered? You got to keep in mind where they're going with all of this. It's all part of the effort to start increasing censorship. Now, the White House being involved in the government level, that'd be true censorship. They haven't shut anybody down yet. They've got their big tech companies doing that for them. And, of course, we told you yesterday about the new insider footage by Project Veritas showing Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg justifying the reason he could blacklist Donald Trump from using his Facebook account. He said, I'm worried that even after he's out of office, he will, quote, try to undermine the transition of power. So we're not going to let him have that platform. Do they think that's going to shut down dissent in this country and for those who supported Trump or at least believe in the things he stands for mostly in this country? There are many that are not Trump supporters, never have been, and probably never will be, but they love things about this country that Trump loves and wanted to support and back it up. And they do not want to go down the road to communism via socialism and eventually all ending up in hell. They don't want it. So IT, big tech, can help shut down anyone they want at this point. We've already seen it. I told you again yesterday how Twitter canceled a Catholic media outlet, the Catholic World Report. Got a notice that its Twitter account was locked for hateful conduct. Now, what did the Catholic World Report do? It's a respected Catholic media outlet, publication of Ignatius Press. Well, one of the journalists had posted the tweet saying that Biden plans to nominate Dr. Rachel Levine, a biological man identifying as a transgender woman who has served as Pennsylvania's health secretary since 2017, to be HHS Assistant Secretary for Health. And Twitter felt that that was hateful language to note that he, she, is transgender. Well, Levine likes that fact and promotes it him herself. We now, reporters are told, submit your question, and we'll make sure we get to you. And you know the other part of that. The other part of that is, after we see the question, then we can decide if we're going to get to you or not. They're going to claim we're just trying to make it as useful and as informative as possible. I look back over the decades. I've done thousands upon thousands of interviews, sometimes with politicians, sometimes with others, but whenever someone says, I'm not going to give you the interview unless I see the questions in advance, I tell them I'm not going to give you the question in advance. It ruins the integrity of the interview. I will ask it. You respond however you want. Well, I'm not going to answer it at all. I'll give you the general area. You know I'm going to get into this and this and maybe whatever else I decide. No, I want to see the specific and you must stick to it. Every time we've had to do that, I make that part of the story. They answered this question only because we submitted it in advance. I wanted to ask this, but if I'd submitted it, they weren't going to answer it. Or maybe I did submit it, they struck that question. You're not going to have a free press, folks. You're not going to have free press if we are going to be told, unless I see your question, no answer, we're not going to call on you in the White House conference. But we're trying to make things more engaging and beneficial for you. Right, yeah, I hear you. Hey, we got an update on some things involving the Capitol riot and something else I want to share with you on Facebook. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, I'm looking at this report, and I'm thinking some folks are going to say, oh, somebody's making that up. They falsified the information. Got to be a conspiracy. Got to be. What am I talking about? Well, apparently, when you look at the arrest records and compare those by name who were arrested and then check against voting records of where they say they had homes, apparently, among those arrested at the January 6th Capitol protest were non-voters, folks who didn't even bother to vote, and also registered Democrats. Democrats also taking part in that, according to this information. And, of course, the impeachment trial is nearing, getting closer to try to blame Trump for what happened on January 6th. One of the deaths that occurred was the Ashley Babbitt, who was shot by a U.S. Capitol police officer while she was climbing through a window. He could see her hands. She didn't have anything in her hands, but she had already gotten past, obviously, with others, several other barriers. She's got a backpack on. And he's seen her come to the window, and a broken window at that. And in his mind, he said, you know, I can't let her in here. I can't let her in here. I don't know what's in the backpack. She gets in here. What's going to happen to the legislators I'm supposed to be protecting? Well, there's an excessive force investigation handled by the Metropolitan Police Department is not complete. The Metropolitan Police Department says it hasn't completed its investigation. But a preliminary investigation finds that the officer was justified. The officer is still on administrative leave at this time. And to that, obviously, that's something he didn't want to do that day. He didn't go to work thinking I'm going to shoot and kill a woman today. But it happened. I pointed out to you, and you, I'm sure you've heard already, that Black Lives Matter has been nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize. Now, you have to keep in mind, folks have differing views on BLM. The value that it can bring to maybe focusing on something, and then the idea that it's become hijacked, a group of anarchists involving white as well as black, it's not a color issue, and that the effort, the original intent and what they were trying to do, if they actually had a true, sincere effort in the beginning, it's far from it. When we had the Ferguson shooting in St. Louis, which is where BLM first came on the scene for many of us. It raised questions right away that I'd say all lives matter, but if they want to try to make a point about how many blacks are being killed by police, that's one thing. But again, when you compare in relationship, there are more whites killed, but I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole right now. I'm just wanting to point out something. I have right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. I put up a tweet that someone else had taken and labeled it as, it's rare that we get pictures of Nobel Peace Prize nominees in action. I'll tell you right now, the video shows a horde of people breaking into a store, running in to loot. That had nothing to do with preserving lives or demanding justice if police have been wrong or even calling attention to the fact that we might need better policing or whatever you want to make the case. That had nothing to do with it. And I don't know, and I state that on my Facebook, I don't know if they were all members of Black Lives Matter. Unfortunately, the video shows only one race breaking in and doing that. And that's also wrong in the sense that if you're going to assume that only that race is involved in violent looting and arson, because that's not true. If you look at what's been happening in Portland, Seattle, and elsewhere, either under the guise and banner of Black Lives Matter or Antifa. So you can look at it, and you can add your comments, but pay attention to what I state in advance of it. And I decided to devote some time on the Facebook page for the reason to, if it's going to be there, let's try to put it in some context. It is, again, posted right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. Don't forget, you could also always email me at LarryConnorsUSA.com. At gmail.com. At LarryConnorsUSA at gmail.com. My Twitter handle, you can always use that, at LarryConnorsUSA. Are you catching a theme here? LarryConnorsUSA? It's what we call branding. No, you're just trying to make yourself look important, aren't you, Larry? Oh, well, all right. Okay, I'll buy that. Coming up in the next hour, I want to spend more time in more detail than maybe many have ever spent on where we're going with these rules to shut down oil and gas in this nation.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.